In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is one of my two most favorite Old Testament characters. David is the other. Daniel, though, has always been a source of blessing and encouragement. The book is a powerful book. It is the revelation of the Old Testament. Everything taught in the Revelation is taught in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a young man who lived in a wicked country. And he suffered because of the wickedness of the country in which he lived. He was taken into bondage. His parents may well have been put to death. We don't know their name. But I'll tell you one thing, we can tell a lot about his parents because of the effect they had on their son. I like the song that says, "Dare to be a Daniel." It is really something that people, Christians, would be challenged to be like Daniel. That's what we teach our children, to sing that song and to dare to be like Daniel. Daniel is a unique character in the Bible. He is only one of two or three who is specifically said to be beloved. The first and most important one is, of course, our Savior, where God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son." However, do you know that Daniel is also addressed as the beloved? And there is another one in the New Testament who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, he loved them all. But the relationship was unique. You know, folks say, "Well, God, it's not fair. God loves Daniel more than he loves me." Don't you ever accuse God of that. God is no respecter of persons. There is a principle in Scripture that applies in the life of Daniel and John, and that principle is this: draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to thee. There are those who enjoy a unique relationship, a close relationship, a relationship in which it can be marked by how much God loves you because of how much you love God. Is it possible for us to leave our first love? Isn't that what Jesus said in Revelation 2? Isn't it who is our first love? Well, people say, no, it's not a who, it's a what. People say, it's the love you had at first. Well, listen, my love that I had at first, brother, it wasn't a lot I understood. I just knew Jesus died for me, and I loved him, and I received him as my Savior. The first love is not a love that you had at the first or the kind of love you had at the first. Your first love is a person. God is love. There are people who enjoy special relationships with God. There are Christians that you know as well as I. You can tell in their life that they have what? A special love. I think of one who's with the Lord. I think of one whose life can be pretty well defined by love. I think of myself. I pray, "Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love you more. Oh, how I love Jesus. No one ever cared for me. I have wonderful parents who have loved me and sacrificed for me. And as great as their love is, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he commendeth his love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner on my way to hell, he died for me. He commendeth his love. He died for me on the cross. I am constrained by that love. The love of Christ constraineth me. It controls me. It affects me. It influences me. I want to be like Daniel. Dare to be like a Daniel." This great passage is the Daniel in the lion's den. We've all heard it from a childhood up. I've preached on it, maybe not too long ago. The passage seems still fresh in my mind. But today the message is how to be like Daniel. How to be like Daniel. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none." Thank God there is the possibility for a non-corrupt and uncorrupt government. Here's one. They could find nothing. "No occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said unto before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled to the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establish may be changed. No amendments, no veto. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake, said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them down into the den of lions. Their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Father, I pray today, speak to these lips of clay. Help me today to speak the message you've laid upon my heart. It is a familiar passage. God, again, you've drawn me to it. I pray that you'll help me today to speak with clarity, conviction, and most of all, Christ-likeness. I pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Daniel was a man who was Christ-like. His name, Daniel, means God is my judge, God is my ruler, God is my governor. I think about Christ who says he came to do the Father's will. He obeyed the Father. He learned obedience. Jesus submitted himself. Although he was God, he humbled himself, became what? Obedient. He became obedient. Daniel was a man who was Christ-like in his life. His name means God is my judge. God rules me. I would to God we were like Daniel. I would to God that it was true that God rules me. There's a tract I don't much care for a great deal of their theology, but one of their gospel tracts is it shows a picture of a throne, and they say this is the throne of your life, and they put on that throne self or the Savior, and they ask you a question: who is on the throne of your life? And it does make you think: who is to be on the throne of our life? The Lord Jesus. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? I've shared with you before. If you go to Matthew 19, you'll find out that the kingdom of God means the rule and reign of God in your heart, or salvation. What does that verse say, Matthew 6:33 then? Seek ye first, get saved. And secondly, live a life of what? Righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Don't seek the things. Don't seek the blessings. Seek the blesser. If you seek the blessings, you'll die. You may die rich, but you'll die and go to hell. If you'll seek the Savior and live like you ought to live, God will bless you. Boy, Daniel's life is an evidence of that, isn't it? Here's a boy taken captivity when he was 14. Taken and made to do certain things and to learn certain things. He was chosen. I like it because it says they chose men, young men, who were knowledgeable in math and science and language, and who were, quote, able to stand in the king's presence. I like that. You see, I think of that on a higher level. Here is a young man who knew how to behave himself and who had the right priorities in his life and had put God in a right place in his life. Daniel, you remember, just as a young boy, they took him away from his home. They took away everything from him. But he said he could not go against his God. He would not eat food offered to an idol. He said, I'll trust God. I'll eat pulse, which is grain, and drink water. And I believe God will strengthen me. And God did. And in fact, the servant was amazed when he compared Daniel with the others who had eaten the king's food. He said he looked better, he was stronger, he was healthier. You say, what kind of diet is that? I'd like to get on that one myself. And now listen, it was because he put God first that God blessed him. Samson did not have strength because he had long hair. He had long hair to show his obedience to God. When he stopped obeying God is when he lost his strength. Long hair doesn't make you strong. God will give you strength if you obey Him. When Samson stopped obeying God, he lost his strength and power with God. And he suffered because of it. Daniel had this power because he was Christ-like. Hey, look at these things in Daniel chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Daniel was set over 120 princes. I think of my Savior, whose church started with 120 in an upper room. Hey, this is unique. This is unusual. Here's a similarity. You say, that's awfully vague. One little thing, 120. Well, notice in the second verse, over these 120, there were set three presidents. And when I think of three, in the Bible, I think of what? The Trinity. Here's, and again, another similarity. Isn't it God, the Trinity, who started with 120 and formed a church upon the earth? And then notice this also in that verse. Over these three presidents, who were all equal in their position, they were all presidents. They were all leaders. However, one is given the preeminence. Isn't that what it says? Whom Daniel was first. Hey, I read my Bible, and I read that the Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but He'll point to Jesus. I read and read where God the Father says, hear ye Him. I read in Colossians where it says that He might have the preeminence in all things. That Jesus Christ is to be exalted. Not because he's above or better, but because the Bible tells us to exalt him even over the Father and the Holy Ghost. Although we worship God, don't we? Don't get me wrong. But he is to have, who is to have the preeminence in all things? Jesus. You can't go wrong exalting Christ. If he be lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. The work of God the Father and the work of the God the Holy Spirit is to do what? To bring people to Christ. He is the King. He, the Lord, is called the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Hey, I see another similarity. In verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, above the other three, the other two, and above the 120. Why? Because an excellent spirit. Now, I know this is talking about his spirit, but isn't it also true that Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit? That he did what he did as a man, the way that you and I should live our lives. How? Being filled with the Spirit of God. You see, he was as much God as if he was not man. But dear soul, remember this. He was as much man as if he was not God. He was God, but he was also a man filled and led by the Spirit of God. And the things which he did as a man, he did not do by his authority as God, but rather did through the Holy Spirit working in his life. And also God the Father. He said, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You know what he was saying? God and I work together. He was claiming equality. They knew what he was claiming. They wanted to kill him for it. But Jesus Christ had an excellent spirit. Not only his spirit, he grew in spiritually as a man. Again, you say, preacher, you get me a little confused. Well, I will grant you, the incarnation is without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. As a man, he lived by the control of the Spirit of God in his life. So did my Savior. He lived the life you and I should live. He died the death that we should die. Then notice in verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against him. Was our Savior persecuted? On the day he announced that he was the Messiah, it just so happened. Now I'm just saying that sarcastically. It so happened that it fell upon his occasion to read the Scriptures. This was common in synagogues where men were given the privilege of reading the Scriptures on a schedule. And it so happened that he's to read on his day from Isaiah, I believe 61, and announce that he is the one who has come to set the captive free. He says, this day, this passage is fulfilled in your ears. Do you remember what happens? The day he announces to his own people there in Capernaum, at the synagogue. Nazareth was too small for a synagogue. But at Capernaum, where he worshipped, he announces that he is the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. This day, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your ears. You know what they attempted to do? Push him over a cliff. But he passed right through them. You know how? Because he's God. They couldn't see him. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't hurt him. No one could do anything to him except he allowed it. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. Listen to me. Daniel was like Christ in that Daniel was persecuted. Why? For his religion. For his love of God. For his call, God's calling in his life. He came from the prison to the palace. Jesus came from a palace to the prison to set up captives free. Jesus said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. You Christians, you ever heard that? They hate Christ. And if you're Christ-like, they'll hate you. In fact, what does Paul say? They that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Might? Shall suffer persecution. You know what? People you work with are not going to like you. Family members that are not saved are going to say, oh, they think they're so good. They think they're... And they think they're better than everybody else. And, oh, Miss Goody Goody Two Shoes. And, oh, Mr. Deacon. Why do they hate you? What have you done? It's not what you have done. It's who you believe in. This world hates Christ. This world is anti-Christ. Consequently, it will be anti those who are pro-Christ. If they've hated me, they'll hate you. Blessed are ye when all men shall hate ye and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Listen to me. Look at this again. They could find none occasion. In verse 4. They persecuted him, but they could find none occasion. Do you see that right there in the middle? They could find none occasion nor fault. Oh, he wasn't sinless. But he hadn't done anything they could lay their hands on. Daniel had to be saved like the rest of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there was nothing that they could accuse him. The same thing was true about Christ. Finally, when they could find no fault nor occasion against him, they did what? They got sons of Belial and bribed them to do what? Say, he claimed to be God. But you know what? It ain't bragging if it's true. However, that was the only occasion they could find against him that he claimed to be God and therefore rebelled against Caesar. Jesus never said rebel against Caesar. Jesus said render to Caesar the things that be Caesar's and unto God the things that be God's. Hey, listen to me. Notice also, if you will, in verse 10, he was like Jesus. He kneeled upon his knees. Oh, dear God. You see it there in the middle of the verse? He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks before his God as he did before, as he did aforetime. Daniel was a man of prayer. If Daniel needed to be a man of prayer, how much more do we? But I have one even farther than that. If Jesus needed to pray, did he pray? He rose up a great while before daybreak and prayed. We find him praying late at night. If the Son of God needed to pray, how much more do the sons of God? He kneeled and prayed. Kneeling is a humbling thing. Some people are not able to. God would not expect Miss Georgie to do that. But you know what? Some people bend the knee but don't bend the heart. It's more important our heart attitude than our physical attitude. But for those that are able, isn't kneeling a humbling thing? Don't the bullies always make you kneel down? Why? To humiliate you. Well, now God doesn't want to humiliate us, but God will tell you one thing. We cannot approach God arrogantly. You don't talk to the big man upstairs. Don't ever say that. He's God Almighty. And when you approach him, the ground you stand on is holy ground, and you're to bow the heart and bow the knees. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God hates pride. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Daniel prayed. And I want to tell you what. The person that prays will see God perform miracles. Prayer changes things, Sarah sang. Prayer will change you. But I'm sad to say, things change prayer. You change prayer. You know what? Isn't it amazing how much we pray when things go bad? I have a little truth for you. Perhaps if we prayed more, things would not go bad. Or if they did go bad, we would have grace to turn a problem into a blessing. Look at what happens to Daniel. These men are all conspiring against him to find fault, to kill him. They're jealous. They're driven by jealousy and bitterness and anger. But he did what he always did. He prayed. He kneeled and prayed. He was like Jesus. I'm thankful he prayed for me. I'm thankful he ever liveth to make intercession for me. Notice this also, he was consigned to the power of the lion. Daniel was consigned to the power of the lion. Daniel was cast into a pit. Daniel was sealed with a stone and a signet into the grave. That was intended to be his grave. But I want to tell you something. The lion, which is a symbol of the devil. For the Bible says, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is symbolized by a lion. Daniel was cast into a pit. Daniel had a rock rolled over the opening of the pit. Daniel was sealed. But Daniel didn't suffer at the hands. In fact, he overcame them. I mean, Daniel, I don't know exactly what happened, and I don't mean to be ludicrous, but I think Daniel was able to line them up. That's the pun, I guess. Line them up. And you lions, line up here. Make yourself into a row there. I want to lie down on top of you. I'm going to sleep. I tell you what, in the midst of trial, I know of another one who slept in prison chained to two guards. And here, I just imagine Daniel. Old Nebuchadnezzar is there having a sleepless night. Daniel's down there. I mean, he had the best sleep. It was better than Sealy Posturpedic. Those lions didn't budge. They had holy lock jaw. But more than that, they didn't even claw him. Even if the jaws were shut, a lion can kill you with one swipe of its claw. They have a powerful claws. They were tame. You know, I think about the coming millennium. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. You say, that's just fairy tale. Believe what you want. I believe our God is able to change the nature of creatures. He changed mine. The people say, how can hell be real fire? Because people that go there don't go in their body. Well, let me ask you this. How can real fire not burn up a body? Daniel's three friends had that experience. Because God's in control. You say, oh, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, fire will burn them all up and they'll just be annihilated. Not if God says no. God says the smoke of their torment shall rise up forever and ever. And if God says they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, if God says it's fire, bless your heart, it is fire, and they will suffer the pain of fire. The rich man was in torment. You say, well, he didn't need his body. They buried him. Hey, the Bible says he opened his eyes in hell being in torment, and he saw, he had eyes. He saw Lazarus afar off, and he cried. He had a mouth. He had a tongue. He had speech. But he said, I'm tormented in this flame. Daniel had a good night. He stayed at the Hotel Lion. Had a great time. I'd like to do that, wouldn't you? I mean, lions scare me. They're powerful. Daniel had a good night's sleep. You know why? I'll just sum it up this way. He was so Christ-like that everything about his life reflected Christ. Everything about his life. You know what? That's the way we should be. Christ should be seen and heard in us. We should be little Christs. That's what the word Christian means. I wonder, are we Christ-like? Secondly, notice this, he was a man of character. Others might, you cannot. Daniel could have said, hey, he does like some people do. Oh, I won't actually bow my head. I don't want everybody to think I'm a holy roller. I'll just kind of wipe the sleep out of my eyes and say, God, thank you for this food. Amen. And the people are looking at you won't know whether you really prayed or not. Daniel could have said, hey, what's a month without prayer? I'm prayed up. And I've been praying for a long time. I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to take a vacation, 30-day vacation. And said, and besides that, I don't have to do what I've been doing before. I'll just, I'll go with the flow and change. I'm glad he didn't change. You know what it said? When he knew it was written, when he knew what they had done, he said, I don't care what they do. I'm going to do what's right. And he went in and prayed. You know why? He's a man of character. Character, reputation is what people think you are. Character is what you really are. Character is what you are in the dark when no one sees. Daniel was a man of character. We need Christians that ought to do things because you ought to. I've told you before, I think Jessie McCormick was, how was she? She was an aunt to you, Mom? Yeah, through Graham's brother's wife. She went to church. Guess what happened? In her late years, she went stone cold deaf. Now, the best hearing age, she never learned to read lips. She was too old, I think, when she lost her hearing. Guess what? She went to church every Sunday, sat there with her Bible. When she saw her neighbor turn to a passage, she turned to the passage and read the passage. When she saw the person standing beside her open the hymn book, she'd know what hymn they were singing. She'd sing the hymn. Somebody said, Jesse, why do you go to church? You can't hear anything. You know what she said? Because I ought to. Ought to. Hey, some people go to church with perfect hearing, don't pay any attention. At least she was getting something. She was going where people, God's people were. I'll tell you what, I trust she was saved. Her hearing's perfect now. She's with the Lord. One day she got up from her daughter. Yes, her daughter. I worked with her daughter. Said one day, she got up from praying, and God called her home. She fell over backwards onto the bed and was gone. I don't remember. She was up in years. But ought to Christians. I ought to go to church. I ought to pray. I ought to witness. Would to God we had more that would just do it because they ought to. I don't know what the root is of ought. I suppose it has something to do with oh. Doesn't it? Does it, Dad? Oh, you don't know. That's one. He's dead in the heart. Well, it makes good preaching. We owe it. That's why we ought. I'm going to look it up when I get home. Well, you forget it. Third point. Daniel is a man of consistency. He said, he did it just like he did it four times. You know, we call ourselves disciples, but lack discipline. A disciple is disciplined. I don't have a lot of discipline in my life today. I pray God give me more discipline. I want to be a disciple. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I want discipline in my life. I want to have a... He prayed three times a day. The Bible says we're to praise God seven times a day. Seven is the number of perfection. Daniel prayed three times a day, and yet he was a businessman. I mean, he was busy. He's running the whole country. But he found time to pray. What's three times? Morning, night, morning, afternoon, and night, I guess. How many of us take time to pray? One time. Daniel was a man of consistency. Daniel was a man of conviction. Only mediocre people are always consistent. They're always at their best. Just mediocre. I heard a preacher preach, and he preached on the average Christian life can be defined by three words. Cheap, shoddy, superficial. Brother, that thing burned into my heart. Cheap. We do things that cost us the least. Oh, I'll be there if I can work it into my busy schedule. Or, I give exactly what I gotta give, no more. Cheap. Cheap. I would to God we had a more expensive building. But I will tell you this. We gave God the best we could. Intend to do the rest for the rest of our lives. Some people say, well, that's not a church building. A church building should be made out of stone and have stained glass windows. Well, I suppose those things have their place. Most of those places are as cold as the stone they're made out of, spiritually speaking. This building's not perfect. It's not a cathedral. But it is the best we could do with what we had. That's the way we ought to be in our lives, amen? Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. As unto the Lord. Don't be cheap. Don't be shoddy. I'm probably the one that's most guilty of doing things in a shoddy manner. It's like cutting a hole in the wall to have a water valve shut off. That's my convenience. I just didn't want to have to go clear around the furnace. I'm a little bit more able to go around the furnace than I used to be. You guys don't realize that's a narrow passage back there. So I cut a hole in the wall and put a water valve out there. That's kind of shoddy operation. I hate to say it, but you know what? It's probably the best I can do. If you can do better, somebody do something out there to make that where I can shut off the water and the power when I leave so that the water doesn't run and flood the building. Superficial. Superficial means just on the surface. And I was convicted. How many of us are so superficial in our Christianity? It's only outward. It's only show. You know all 10 holy words. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Pray. You know all 10. Boy, you can really flash them around. Sad thing is, most of us have $1 million testimony, and we back it up with a 10-cent life. That's a shame, isn't it? Daniel wasn't like that. Daniel was a man of conviction. Daniel chose character over comfort. He could have done the convenient thing, but he said, no, I'm going to do what's right. Do right if the stars fall. Do right. Do what's right. Whether anyone else does, no matter what people think, do what's right, and you'll never be sorry. Secondly, he chose discipline over disorder. You know, we all are creatures of habit. The problem is most of our habits aren't good. I don't say they're necessarily evil, sinful. I'm just saying they're not edifying. All of us have a habit of maybe first thing you get the newspaper. You read all that trash. Get yourself depressed real quick. Then you have a habit. You got to have that cup of coffee. Nothing wrong with coffee. I drink some myself every day. But you know, we got habits. Why don't we get a habit of opening the Bible before we open the news? Why don't we get a habit of listening to God and talking to God before we turn on Katie Couric, catch up with the world's events? Why don't we put God before the world? Daniel chose the Lord over his own life. You know what I'm telling you? He said, I don't care. You know, his three friends said it well. Oh, King, we're not careful in this matter. He said, you don't have to threaten us, and we're not going to bargain with you. The Lord's able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, all right. You don't need to threaten us, and you don't need to wait for us to give you a decision. We give it to you right now. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And if God's willing, we're not going to burn. And guess what happened? Those three boys got thrown into a fire that was heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. So hot that the guards that carried them and threw them in the fire burnt up. They burnt up trying to get them thrown into the fire. They threw them in bound, hand and foot. The only thing that burnt on those men's bodies was the bonds that held them. And it burnt off of them. I mean, they were tied, and they took their stockings off and tied their feet together. So they were carried down there like this and then thrown into the fire. And the fire burned up the guys that were throwing them in. It was so hot. And they fell down into this burning coals. And as soon as they fell down in the fire, guess what? They found new freedom than they'd ever found before. They're walking in the fire. I mean, how many of you are afraid of fire? I am. But wouldn't it be neat to walk around. You look at you to take a big deep breath of fire and blow it out. And you watch the fire go over and just hold your hand in it and marvel at the flames licking your flesh and nothing turning black and no smoldering and no smoke. In fact, the Bible says that when they were, the king had to say, come out of there. And they walked out. They walked out of the fire. They not only found freedom in there, they found fellowship because the king looked at them and said, didn't we throw three men in there? They said, yes. He said, well, I see the form of a fourth. I see a fourth man walking in the fire. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Boy, he was right. Jesus was, you know what? You not only find new freedom, you find new fellowship in the fire. Jesus will be with you through the fire. And guess what? It says, when they brought him out, how many of you have ever been camping and you're around a campfire, you've been around a fire? You smell like smoke. You smell like smoke. In fact, in the Philippines, I went to a survival school where we were caught because we smelled like smoke. We hid ourselves. I got down into the jungle canopy, the jungle carpet. The canopy's on top, the carpet. And I made a hole and I got underneath about a foot and a half of weeds and vines and grass to hide. The purpose of this training was that most people shot down over Vietnam were captured within 10 minutes of hitting the ground. If you could survive 15 minutes, the likelihood of your being captured was greatly reduced. And they taught us that instead of running or climbing a tree, hit the dirt, get under the carpet, and hide yourself and close it back over you. And the jungle is so overgrown that underneath is bare ground. And you can hold that up and breathe, and you're under foot and a half of carpet, of vines and weeds. They had Negritos, which are the native people of the Philippines, come looking for us. They were up over a ridge, didn't see where we hid ourselves. And at the appointed time, they set off a cannon. So we knew the time was starting. I'm lying underneath of there. I'm not breathing. I'm thinking, I may need to know this training in Vietnam. I'm being very careful. I did everything like they said. I was given a little dog tag. They called it a chit. I was given a dog tag. And if I was captured, the guy who captures me takes that chit and gets 10 kilograms of rice, 22 pounds of rice. And buddy, that's a lot to these people. So he has a motive. I'm lying down there. I hear him coming. He walks over me one time. He turns around, comes back over, and he digs down, punches me and says, chit, chit. Chit, chit, chit. That's all he was interested in. I said, how'd you catch me? He couldn't understand much English. He said, smoke, smoke. Voluntary, Daniel's friends came out of the fire and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. You know why? Because they honored God. Daniel was a man of courage. He had courage to stand. He had courage to die. Let me tell you something. If what you have is not worth dying with, it's not worth living for. What we have is worth dying for. And thank God it's also what's good for dying with. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Daniel was a man who conquered. And he conquered the three enemies. Think about it. The world is represented by the government in which he served. Did he overcome those rascals? Sure did. He overcame the world. He overcame the flesh. He walked in the fire and was not even singed or had the smell of smoke on him. Oh, wait. He overcame the flesh in that the lions didn't eat him. And if he'd been there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wouldn't happen to him either. See, either way, I'm going to come out all right. The third thing is this. He overcame the world. He overcame the flesh. He overcame the devil. The devil is pictured by whom? That old lion. And none of them. Some of the liberals say, well, they were already fed. Well, they got awfully hungry because in just a few minutes when they threw all the accusers in there with their families, the Bible says that the lions devoured them ere they hit the ground. I mean, they got them in midair and chopped them and chewed them. Now, they were hungry. God just put them on an appetite suppressant overnight. Don't eat anything after midnight. Call me in the morning. And that's what happened. Hey, aren't you glad? Now listen, our God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for Daniel, he'll do for us. If we'll do what Daniel did.